And we're holding on Ayin Beis and with Aleph at the top. And we learned yesterday a din that Rav Huna had said that when a person sells his land and the land contains trees and he reserves for himself two trees, then he does have karka to go with those trees. In the next parak, we're going to learn the flip side of that. When a person sells the trees, does karka go along with it? And the Mishnah says that it doesn't. It only if he sells three trees or more does it automatically karka go with them. But here Rav Huna is saying that in any case, the other way around, where you're selling the rest of the land and reserving the trees for yourself, then you are reserving for yourself karka as well. And the Gemara had said that would be both according to Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. The Rashbam had explained that the din that we have in the next parak about the two trees versus three, whether there's land or not, is subject to a machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that this din of Rav Huna's would apply even according to Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos learns differently and says that we don't mean that Rabbi Akiva would disagree on the actual din, but we mean that he argues on the point of Ayin Ra Mocher, Ayin Yafa Mocher, as we've been discussing in various places in the Perek, and therefore that his din would be according to both of them. Now, the Gemara had gone on to say that we see that there's a statement of Rav Shimon in our Mishnah that seems to contradict Rav Huna, and on the face of it, so how do we reconcile Rav Huna's statement? And the answer is that Rav Huna is saying only that Rav Huna is not saying according to Rabbi Akiva. Rav Huna is saying only according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva. Meanwhile, Rav Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, there's no contradiction. If we say that Rav Huna goes according to everybody, according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, then he's going to be contradicted by Rav Shimon, because after all, Rav Shimon has to hold like somebody, as the Gemara is going to work out later. But if we assume that Rav Shimon goes just like Rabbi Akiva, then there's no problem, because Rav Huna can then say like the Chachamim. So Ayin Beis Amud Aleph at the top, the Gemara continues, Umim Matzis Rav Shimon k'Rabbi Akiva. How could you possibly say that Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, and let's recap, Rav Shimon had said in our Mishnah that the case was a person is makdish a field, and the field has in it various kinds of fixtures. So it has a burr, it has a water pit, or it has a gas, a wine press, etc. Or it has the various kinds of trees that we learned in an earlier Mishnah that have a chashivus of their own, or of amukav or sadhana shikma. So Rav Shimon had said, when you makdish a field, you're not automatically including the bor or gas or anything like that. However, you are including the trees, the chor of amukav and the sadhana shikma. And we learned yesterday that Rav Shimon had said the reason is because, after all, trees are getting their nourishment from the ground, and therefore it comes out they're getting their nourishment from land of Hekdesh. So now, how can you say that Rav Shimon in that regard holds like Rav Akiva? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hekdesh shlosha ilonis mimata asara. If a person has land that has three trees that has three trees growing in it, and three trees is enough to make the land considered Sdeha Ilan, a field of trees. Now we have like this. The background for the following din, the Gemara is going to be telling us, is like this. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bechukos that when a person is Makdish, his Sdeya Choza, a field that he inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, then what we say is the Torah fixes a value for such a field. For every base, for every base core, for every area where you would be able to plant a core of grain, which is defined as 75,000 square amos, the amount is the amount of the of the of the amount of the pidyon is 50 shkolim, 50 sloim, if it's right after Yovel, and then every year it gets prorated down. Every year you subtract one sela and one punyon. So, for example, let's say, so we have this area. He was makdish a field of one base core, let's say 20 years before Yovel, and now he wants to buy it back from Hekdesh 5 years later, 15 years before Yovel. So he's going to be paying Hekdesh 15 sloyim and 15 pundionis for that field. Okay, he's the owner. He adds a choymish as well, but we're not dealing with the matter of the choymish right now. As opposed to, as we're going to discuss on Omid Beis, if this field was not a sdeah choza, But rather, and it doesn't matter, by the way, for that purpose, the quality of the field, whether this is really good land, which is worth a lot more than 50 sloim, or whether it's really bad land, which is worth a lot less, doesn't matter. The Torah fixes that amount for Sdei Achoza, as opposed to, we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, you have Sdei Mikna, you have a field that you bought from somebody else, where you don't go according to that, you go according to the actual market value of the field, and you're poided accordingly. So now, when the Torah tells us that concept about a field, then it's davka the field, as we're going to discuss over here. The trees are the trees may be a different matter. Sometimes we say that the trees are valued separately than the land, and the amount that he pays that he pays hektish for them is their actual market value, rather than them just being included at this rate of one seller and one punyan per year. So the Braisa says hektish shlosha ilonis. So if a person is makdish three trees, which may a field that has three trees in it, mimata asor lebeisa, where the trees are planted at the proper distances where you would normally have 10 for every beisa. Earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, the Gemara had described, as we talked about yesterday, a tree gets its nourishment from up to 16 amos in every direction. So therefore, you have to have, we're talking about mature, so mature trees, you have to have a fair amount of distance between them so that there's room enough for the tree, for the roots to grow. So here, where they're planted at the distances that you would put 10 of them to a base saw, and now we're saying he was makdish three of them, then automatically, then we say, once there's three trees, then kauka automatically goes along with them. So even though he didn't say that he's makdish the land, automatically by being makdish three trees, then land goes along with it. And so, and that land, that land that goes between them also includes, if I say, lonus shebenehem, and it also includes the trees that are between them. What trees between them are we talking about? The Rashbam says we're talking about smaller trees that might be between the larger trees. Tosfos says that no, what it means is we're talking about non-fruit bearing trees. The first three trees that he was makdish were fruit trees, and then between them there are other trees that don't bear fruit. Eventually, though, now the point is, if trees are grown too closely together, they're not going to grow well. But when you have ilone srach, when you have non-fruit bearing trees between them, then realistically you're more likely to uproot those in order to give the fruit trees room to grow. So therefore, we can ignore those for this purpose and focus on the fruit trees. Anyway, so the Braisa is saying that then he's makdish the land with the three trees, as well as any other trees, any young trees or any non-fruit bearing trees that are between them. The Rashbam adds, by the way, that later on in the next parak, when we talk about the din of a person selling three trees, then we have a different amount. Then the din is when they're anywhere between 4 and 16 amas apart. Here we're mentioning instead what area of ground they're taking up. The Rashbam says the difference is because when you're selling to somebody else, then you go according to the das of the seller. He wants to be makna him an area of land around the trees enough to be able to pick the fruit. But over here, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of that the land that these trees are standing on, and the land near the trees is going to be where the trees are getting their nourishment from, and they can't be getting from a field of hektish because it's not yours for the trees to continue taking nourishment from it. Therefore, the land that goes with the trees has to be a larger amount. Anyway, so then the Braisa says, so when you have the trees are planted at these distances, and we're saying that automatically the land between them and the trees between them are included, therefore, when he comes to redeem it from Hekdesh, then it goes at the rate that the Torah says of 50 sloim for every base core, and then prorated year by year, one seller and one punyan per year. Hochas mikan, on the other hand, continues the Braisa, if you have less than that, the Rashbam explains, means that it's going to be a forest. So meaning, in other words, rather than a field of trees, meaning, in other words, the Rashbam understands that pochas mikan means they're planted closer together than that, so they're taking up less space than an entire base saw. Like this, we said it should be three trees per beisah, and instead he has them planted in an area smaller than a beisah, or yoser akein, or more than that, or if he has, they're planted further apart than that, so then they don't need all the land between them. That's how Rashbam explains pochus mikan and yos mikan. Different other rishonim talk about different meanings of it. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta says that pochus mikan means if you don't have the, like this Tosfos discusses over there, part of the idea is the spacing between the trees needs to be enough that the oxen with their yoke that are going to be plowing the area around the trees are going to have room to get through. So pochus mikan would be that they're planted closer together than that. So it's so an area of four amos, as we'll learn in the next parak. So that's Hashem. So pochus mikan would mean when they're planted closer together than that, or yosem mikan would be where they're too far apart, more than 16 amos apart. And then you have other explanations as well. The Yad Ramah says pochus mikan means when there's fewer than three trees, and yosem mikan means when you have more than means more than three trees. Anyway, oishik dishen bazachazeh, or another case where he wasn't makdish all three trees together, but rather did one after the other. So first it was makdish one of these three trees, then the next one, then the next one. So then, is a loyik the shloyes akarka the loyes aylonis shabinehem. Then he has not been makdish the land or the trees between them, because then the fact that he didn't do all three of them together showed that he wasn't intending to give any land to Hekdish, just the trees. So therefore, when he comes to buy it back from Hekdish, then we don't go according to the figure of 50 sloyim for a base core, because that only applies to fields, only to agricultural land, and rather here we're dealing with a different kind of entity, trees. So therefore, then he just redeems the trees back from Hekdish at their market value and not at the fixed rate the Torah is saying. Not only that, continues the Braisa, Ela filo hikdash as Elonis, even if he was makdash the trees, because of the hikdash as a character, even if he was makdash the three trees, but the Rashbam explains that the case that we're talking about now, that he was makdash one tree after another, where we said karka is not included, and then he said, I'm also makdash the land. So now, in other words, so by saying first I'm makdash this tree, then later on this one, then later on this one, we said karka is not included. Afterwards, he said, you know what, I'm makdash the land as well. So then, shupoida, then when he redeems it, poida say lonis b'shav yehen, then when it comes, then we would treat the trees and the land as two separate entities. And then he would be poida the trees at their market value, v'chozer poida beis, v'chamishim shekel kosef, and then the land would be at the rate of 50 sloyim per beis kor. Because if to begin with he had been makdish all three trees and automatically land goes with them, then we would say the trees and the land and even the other smaller trees or non-fruit bearing trees that are in that land would all be included at the same rate of 50 sloyim per base kor. But now that he was makdish one, two, three trees separately and then the land and the trees are considered two separate entities and each one has its separate pinyon. Actually, the Rashash talks about, in the back of the Gemara, talks about that and then gives a different explanation than the Rashbam. He says what it means is where the person was makdish, he was makdish all three trees, but then he explicitly says that he's makdish the land as well. Without saying that, it would have just meant three trees automatically includes land. But here where he's saying, I'm makdish three trees and I'm makdish the land, then that implies that without his statement, he wouldn't have been makdish the land, and therefore we treat the trees and the land separately. Anyway, thus far the Braisa. So in short, the Braisa is saying there are cases where you makdish trees and automatically land goes with them, and then there are cases where it does not. So the Gemara says, man, now who is this Braisa like? Rabbi Akiva, if the Mishnah, if this Braisa is like Rabbi Akiva, then you're going to say that, and again, Rabbi Akiva holds, as the Rashbam learns, that when you sell two trees to somebody else, already karka goes along with it. The Mishnah that we're going to learn in the next parak that says that only when there's three trees or more does karka go with them, that Rashbam learns would be only according to the Chachamim. So if you're going to say that this braisa is like Rabbi Akiva, no, ha'omer mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha. He says that even when it comes to selling, then he's selling ba'ayin yofa and including land even with two trees. V'cholshek in makdish, how much more so when he's being makdish that he's doing ba'ayin yofa. So it wouldn't even matter if there were three trees, even if it was only two trees. And automatically, there wouldn't be this concept at the end of the braisa where he's being makdish the trees, where we said he's being makdish the trees separately, where land doesn't go along with them, because according to Rabbi Akiva, even two trees would be enough for land to go along with them. So the braisa on the face of it can't be like Rabbi Akiva. E Rabbanan, and if you're going to say the braisa is like the Chachamim, who say mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, even they say only when it comes to sales do we say ayin ra, but when it comes to makdish, they agree that makdish ba'ayin yof makdish, as we learned in our Mishnah, where they had distinguished between mocha and makdish. So the braisa wouldn't work like the chachamim either. Well, who is it like? El pshita Reb Shimon. Evidently, the braisa has to be like Reb Shimon. Well, now we have to figure out, fine, so we're saying it represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon, Aliba Daman, in turn, which of his Rebbeim is Reb Shimon following this? Reb Shimon, after all, Reb Ashbam points out, was one of the Talmidim of Reb Akiva. So at Bepashtus, we would say, fine, he didn't learn exclusively from Reb Akiva. We would say he learned from the other Chachamim of his generation as well. But we would assume that his opinion it has to be based on one of theirs. So who was he going like? So Reb Shimon, Aliba Daman. If he was going like Reb Akiva, again, So we should say that when he's makdish, even when he's makdish two trees, then there are land with it. Evidently, therefore, Reb Shimon's opinion has to be based on the Chachamim, because of Reb Shimon, he heichi de mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, keheichi de mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, makdish nami ba'ayin ra makdish, or mashayir ala. So it comes out, in other words, we would say that Reb Shimon would take the Chachamim's opinion and extend it a little further. He would say, so you'd have three opinions over here. Reb Akiva says both Moicher and Makdish are Ayin Yofa. The Chachamim say Moicher Ayin Ra and Makdish Ayin Yofa. And Reb Shimon would say both Moicher and Makdish is Ayin Ra. So that would come out, therefore, that Reb Shimon is going like the Chachamim, whereas before we were saying, as we asked the question at the top of the Amud, that you were telling me before in the Gemara that Reb Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, and using that to fa'end for Rav Huna's din. That Rav Huna's din wouldn't contradict what Reb Shimon is saying in the Mishnah. Because Rav Huna's din is according to the Chachamim, and Reb Shimon is going like Rabbi Akiva. But now, if we're saying that Reb Shimon himself goes like the Chachamim, then what are we doing with Rav Huna's state? So that's how the Rashbam learned. But the question is on Rav Huna. Now, the Rashbam adds, it's true that you also have a contradiction within Reb Shimon himself, where before we had understood Reb Shimon to be saying Makdish Ba'ayin Yofa Makdish, and here we seem to be saying Mocha Ba'ayin Ra Makdish. But right now, says the Rashbam, the Gemara is not dealing with that point yet. Right now, the Gemara wants to answer the contradiction on Rav Huna. And for that, and therefore, the Rashbam, in keeping with that, says the words of Mashayar Ara, these two words at the bottom of the Amud over here, Mashayar Ara, don't belong. Because if we have the words Mashayar Ara, then the question really is on Rav Shimon. But right now, says the Rashbam, the Gemara is not dealing with the contradiction within Reb Shimon's own statement, whether he's leaving for himself land or not. Right now, we're just trying to figure out, is Reb Shimon like the Chachamim or like Reb Akiva? And on the face of it, now we're saying that Reb Shimon is like the Chachamim. So we have the question on Rav Huna. That's how the Rashbam learns the question. On the other hand, Tosfos has some questions on that, and the fact is we do have the words Mashayar Ara. So actually, Tosfos brings that the Ri says that no, in fact, not only the question is not on Rav Huna, Adrabah, we're trying to strengthen what Rav Huna says. When we said on Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph that Rav Huna's din would be even according to Rabbi Akiva, And then the Gemara had said, no, it doesn't seem it would work out like Rabbi Akiva, only like the Chachamim. Now the Gemara is revisiting that and saying that, no, maybe actually Rav Huna's din would work out even according to, you're telling me Rav Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. But no, Rav Shimon holds like the Chachamim. And so, yeah, the question is, within Rav Shimon's opinion, and once we reconcile that, then we'll be able to say that Rav Huna's din is even according to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, first the Gemara needs to deal with the contradiction between within Rav Shimon's statement. So we're not coming to ask on Rav Huna. We're coming to deal with to clarify what Rav Shimon holds, and therefore to uphold what we said originally, that it's not a matter of Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim, that Rav Huna could hold, that Rav Huna's din would work even according to Rabbi Akiva.
You want to make everyone hold according to Rav Huna? That's
no. What we want to say is, ideally, we would want Rav Huna's din to work according to both Rav Akiva and the Chachamim. Tosfos also discusses, by the way, in the previous parak, the sugya that bears on this as well, where Tosfos also discusses in some detail the flow of the Gemara over here, what the Gemara is asking and what it's answering in terms of Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim So the question was, Tosfos learned over there that when we said again, Reb Shimon's statement, if it was or the Braisa that we just quoted, we're saying that if you're going to say the Braisa is according to Rabbi Akiva, and we're saying that the Chachamim hold Makdish b'ayin yofa Makdish. Rabbi Akiva himself says Moicha b'ayin yofa Moicha, and how much more so Makdish. If you're going to say, now Tosfos had learned differently, that there's no machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about if you sell two trees, whether there's karka. The machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, according to Tosfos, is strictly on the question of Moicha b'ayin ra Moicha or Moicha b'ayin yofa Moicha. So in other words, Tosfos learns over there that there are two different machloikas over here, Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim, about Moicha b'ayin yofa Moicha, or Moicha b'ayin ra Moicha, and Rabbi Shimon against the Chachamim as far as Makdish b'ayin ra or b'ayin yofa Moicha. So therefore, so the Gemara is trying to figure out how these two machloikas mesh together, basically. So again, according to the Rashbam, the question is, how can we say that Rav Huna's statement is according to the Chachamim and against Rabbi Akiva, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, when we're saying Rabbi Shimon himself holds like the Chachamim, and therefore if Rabbi Shimon is saying that when you makdish fields, then automatically you makdish trees with them because they're getting nurturing from the field of Hekdish, whereas Rabbi Huna is saying that when you're keeping trees for yourself, you're automatically keeping the land around them. At a point of Tosfos, the question is how we understand Rabbi Shimon himself. So the El Akasha, so the Gemara continues, the El Akasha, however, Yonkin Misdeh Hekdish. Well, you also have to consider, though, the fact is you have a question within Rav Shimon's own opinion. So the Rashbam says that when the Gemara is saying the El Akasha, it's like asking Velitai Meif. So according to your own Svara, you're asking the question on Rav Huna, who he holds like, but never mind that. First, ask yourself, what does Rav Shimon actually hold? Tosfos, one of Tosfos's questions on the Rashbam, which caused them to learn differently, is in fact the very fact that the Gemara doesn't use the word v'litai meich, which would imply that, in other words, turning the question back on the questioner. So rather, it's a continuation of the whole discussion. Rav Shimon seems to be contradicting himself. And how do we reconcile? Before, Rav Shimon had said that when you makdish a field, you automatically makdish trees with it because yonkin misdeh hekdish. And here we're saying now that Rav Shimon seems to hold makdish v'ayin ra makdish, and therefore, when you makdish one or two trees, you're not automatically being makdish land with them. The one or two trees are still getting their nourishment from field of hekdish. So we have to answer, Elo Rav Shimon l'divreim d'rabbonim. The answer is, when Rav Shimon mentions about when he says in our Mishnah that when you makdish a field, automatically you makdish the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma, those trees that grow with it, even though those trees have a chshivus of their own, he's not saying that I myself hold this way. He's saying you Chachamim have to hold this way. It's like this. As far as I'm concerned, just like when a person sells he sells Ayin Ra and reserves as much as possible for himself, the same thing Makdish. So that would explain the Braisa that we said on Amud Aleph, which again, we established that that Braisa would be appointed of Shimon, because neither Rabbi Akiva nor the Chachamim hold Makdish for Ayin Ra Makdish. So neither one of them could possibly be saying that being Makdish trees doesn't automatically include land. Only Rav Shimon could possibly hold that way. So he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, Makdish b'ayin ra, Makdish v'shiyurim mishayim. And therefore, according to me, I would say he leaves over the land. So when he's Makdish three trees, then sure, land goes along with them. Same as when he's selling to somebody else. Even according to Rav Shimon. But when he's Makdish one or two trees, then not necessarily. So as far as I'm concerned, in this case, then so the other way around. If he's makdish a field, he's not automatically makdish any trees in it. Even a chor of amurkav, or even a sad and a shikma, or any of the land that they require for their nurture. So that would explain my opinion. But according to you, oiduli miha, at least you should agree to me. You who hold makdish ba'ayin yofa makdish, then at least you should say so. Fine. The loy hikdish al chor of amurkav v'sad and a shikma. Why are you saying that if he's makdish a field, then he's makdish all the trees in it? Why, at least you should say that not just the trees, that you're makdish, according to you, that when he's makdish a field, he's makdish all the fixtures in the field. Why all the fixtures? It's enough to say chorav amurkav and sadna shikma, because there you have the issue that they're getting their nourishment from land of hektish. Why are you also saying that it should include a bor or a gas or any such things which don't take any nourishment from the land? Why should you be including those in the field, after all? The same way as you're selling a field, you haven't automatically sold a burr, and you hold mercha b'ayin ra makdish. Why are you holding, when it comes to hektish, that he's makdish b'ayin yofa to such an extent that he would even include the burr? And the Chacham say, we don't hold of that distinction. It's not... We would say it's more similar to giving a gift. We're nosing b'ayin yofa nosing, and it has something to do with the field, after all.
Nothing to do with nutrients.
So nothing to do with nutrients or anything like that. Just having to do with they're saying that the same way as a nosing is giving b'ayin yofa, the same with a makdish. So now it comes out. Therefore, now that we understand Reb Shimon that way, means Reb Shimon himself would not. When he says in the Mishnah, when he says in the Mishnah, Chorav Amurkav and Sadan Ashikma, he himself wouldn't even hold that those are included automatically by doing the Karka. He's saying you Chachamim at least should say that those are included. So therefore, it comes out Reb Shimon himself would say that you're not makdish anything. So now, therefore, it comes out that Rav Huna's original din will work nicely according to Rav Akiva as well, like we said to begin with, because Rav Shimon doesn't hold like Rav Akiva in that regard. Rav Akiva holds even Moicher b'ayin yofa Moicher. Rav Shimon disagrees with that whole concept. He says not only Mach Moicher, but even Machdish is b'ayin ra. So therefore, Rav Huna's original din will work out nicely. It won't work according to Rav Shimon, but it'll work nicely according to both the Chacham. It may work according to Rav Shimon, but we're not really addressing that. But it will work out nicely according to both Rav Akiva and the Chachamim that even though when he's selling, where you have the machlokas of Moicher b'ayin ra or Moicher b'ayin yofa, but when the other way around, when he's selling the rest of the field and reserving trees for himself, says Rav Huna, he's definitely reserving karka for himself together with the trees.
Okay, and again, and there's no contradiction from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Huna.
That's what we're saying. Now we're saying that Rabbi Akiva holds Moicher b'ayin ra, Moicher b'ayin yofa Moicher. Nevertheless, though, that doesn't mean that when a person is selling two trees, he's selling land together with them, the land around the trees. But on the other hand, the flip side of it would be, therefore, that when he's selling the rest of the land and reserving for himself trees, that he's reserving land along with them. And according to the Chachamim, you don't need to resort to that, because according to them, Moicher b'ayin ra Moicher, and therefore definitely he's reserving for himself whatever he can.
But when it comes to Hekdish, they all agree.
When it comes to Hekdish, though, we're saying both of them would agree, Moicher makdish b'ayin yofa makdish, only Reb Shimon disagrees with that. Yeah. Okay. Well, the Gemara says, "B'mayu kibtala." So now what are you saying? So far, what we're saying is the braisa that we quoted on Amud Aleph that distinguished between whether he was makdish three trees that are planted at proper distances, where automatically we said land goes with them to hekdesh, and when he's poida, the land and the trees all go as one unit, and we go according to the rules for Sdei Achuza, as opposed to, we said, when he was makdish the trees separately, and then the land, or made a separate statement about the trees or the land or whatever, where then the trees are valued separately and the land separately. So far, what we're saying is that braisa goes according to Rav Shimon, because again, we said according to the Chachamim or according to Rav Akiva, it wouldn't work because Makdish b'ayin yofa Makdish, and why shouldn't there be land going along with the trees, even if he only was Makdish one or two? So now, you're saying that braisa is like Rav Shimon. Ema sefer. But look at the continuation of the braisa. It continues, v'loy oid, ela afilo hikdash es eilonis. We said, even if it was makdash, the trees, v'choz of a hikdash the karka, and later on he was makdash the karka, whether we mean like the Rashbam, that first he was makdash the trees individually, and then later on was makdash the karka that they're growing on, or whether we mean like the Rashash, that it was one statement after another, I'm makdash these three trees, and I'm makdash the karka. Anyway. So the braisa had said, "Kshu poida," when he's redeeming them, poida seilonis v'shav yehen. Then he's poida the trees at their market value. V'chozer poida base, and then as far as the land, zerah base zerah choy mesorim machamishim shekel kosef. Then we go according to the figure of 50 sloyim per base kor right after yovel, and then prorated down from there over the years. Now you're telling me the first part of the braisa is like Rav Shimon. The E of Shimon, if you're telling me the first part of the braisa is like Rav Shimon, the Pashto, so is the second part. Now, the problem with that is, if it was all according to Rav Shimon, lezo bosa pidyon, then Rav Shimon should be going according to the situation when it's being redeemed. In other words, fine, to begin with, he was makdish the trees separately and the land separately. But when it comes to the pidyon, the fact is, it is all hekdesh. Rav Shimon, we find, as the Gemara is going to quote now, that he goes not according to the status when it was first made hekdesh, but rather he goes according to the status when it's redeemed in terms of the din. So if we didn't have that, then we would say fine. Rav Shimon would say that there's a difference between yamakdash the trees and the land together versus one after the other. But we see that Rav Shimon does not make that distinction. We're going to show now that Rav Shimon holds that when you have one status at the time that it was made hekdesh, and another time, and a different relevant status at the time of pidyon, then you go according to the status of at the time of the pidyon. Well then, when it comes to the pidyon, the land and the trees are both hekdesh. Why would Rav Shimon be saying in the braisa that you treat them separately?
It should be a bus.
It should be redeemed as one unit, exactly. So, D'tanya, we learn in a braisa. Now, again, we discussed on Amud Aleph that you have the difference between Sdei Mikna and Sdei Achuza. You have the difference that Sdei Achuza, a field that you inherited from your ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, goes according to the rules that it says in the Pasuk in terms of the rate. The rate is 50 sloyim per base core, regardless of the quality of the land. You also have the din, by the way, with the Sdei Achuza, that if you don't buy it back from Hekdesh before Yovel, then it's permanently gone from you, and it ends up being distributed to the Koyanim, who are on duty when Yovel begins. The Mishmar that's on duty when Yom Kippur of Yovel begins. As opposed to a Sdei Mikna, a field that you bought from another year to now it's Israel. Listen, eventually it's going to be returning to him in Yovel anyway. You can't be makdash it permanent. Therefore, it goes back to him in Yovel regardless, whether it was bought back from Hekdesh or not. And you don't have the 50 sloyim per base core. You rather go according to its market value. So those are the differences between Sdei Mikna and Sdei Achuza.
It doesn't go back unless you buy it back.
No, so with a Sdei Achuza, it doesn't go back to you unless you buy it back from Hekdesh. If you were makdash a Sdei Achuza, and it was still in the possession of Hekdesh come Yovel, or they sold it to somebody else in between, then when it comes Yovel, when it comes Yom Kippur of Yovel, it goes to the Kohen.
He has a year to buy.
No, not a year. He has until Yovel to buy it back. If he was makdash it 49 years before the next Yovel, and he's got 49 years to buy it back. And the details of these dinim are in Masechta Erchem, which we'll get to in a couple of years, Be'ez Hashem. But anyway, so the Rashbam focuses over here on the point that you have the difference as far as the valuation, as far as the 50 sloyim or not, where there's a difference between Sdei Mikna and Sdei Achuza. Marsha points out, actually, the truth is that is actually a machloikas in Masechta Erchin. There was an opinion there that says even a Sde Mitna, you still go according to the same valuation. Everybody agrees there is a distinction whether it goes back to you in Yovel or not. So the din that the Gemara is going to be discussing now, where you have a field that in a certain way can be considered mikna and in a certain way achuza, what does that make a difference of in terms of the amount you have to pay for the pidyon, or in terms of whether you get it back in Yovel? Everybody agrees that it's going to make a distinction as far as whether you get it back in Yovel. It's going to be a machlokas whether based on a Gemara in Erchin, whether it also makes a difference in terms of how much you're paying. Whether you're paying the 50 or whether you're paying market value. Yeah. Anyway, so the Braisa says like this. Suppose a person bought a field from his father, the Hikdisha, then he was makdish the field, and later on his father died and he inherits that field from his father. So to begin with, he bought it from his father, so it started as a Sde Mikna, but now it became a Sde Achoza because he inherited it from his father. So the father died and now the son inherited it. Minayin shtei l'fanav k'sdei achoza. How do we know that it's considered like a sdei achoza in terms of the seller and punyan per year, and in terms of not getting it back in Yovel if he doesn't buy it back from Hekdish? The Rashbam adds, by the way, all the more so if his father died and then he was makdashit, then for sure it became his sdei achoza before he was ever makdashit. The chiddush is, even though he was makdashit when it was a sdei mikna, before his father died, but now having been makdashit, and now it's in the possession of Hekdish, now his father dies, and now while it's in the possession of Hekdish, it turns into a sdei achoza.
Who's the one that being makdashit, the son or the...
The son. So Avraham...
He can be makdashit his father's stuff when his father
owns. Avraham has a field. Yitzchak, his son, bought from him.
Oh.
Yitzchak now is makdish that field. Then Avraham dies. The Braisa is saying, how do we know that it's considered like a Sdei Achuza, and has the dinim of that? Talmud Loima. Therefore, the Pasuk says, V'im HaSdei Meknosah, Asher Loim HaSdei Achuzasai. The Pasuk says, if it's a field that he bought, which is not from fields that he inherited, now why does it have to add that? If he bought a field, of course, not inheritance, it's inheritance. Means that din applies only to a field that's not capable of being a Sdei Achuza because it belongs to a different family. As opposed to this one, which can become a Sdei Achuza, and therefore it's going to have the din of a Sdei Achuza. That is what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say. So according to them, that's what the Gemara is establishing over here, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you go according to the time of Pidyon. You say at the time when he's coming to buy it back from Hekdesh, it turned into a Sdei Achuza, and therefore it has the din of a Sdei Achuza. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that they're not darshaning it from the Pasuk, but rather they're going based on Svara. Given that you have a Pasuk that supports their opinion, and on the other hand, we're going to have the opinion of Reb Meir that says it counts as a Sdei Mikna, the Gemara is assuming at this point that each of them is just figuring out a Svara, why it should be like one or the other, rather than darshaning from Sukkot. So that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says, on the contrary, if he bought a field from his father and then his father died and then he was makdashit, how do we know then it counts as a Sdei Achuza? Because he was makdashit only when it became a Sdei Achuza, but not when he was makdashit during the period when he had bought it. It was still a regular field. He had been makdashit. So the mayor is saying, only when would it become a second? Talmud loyma v'im asdei meknosa, asher lim sdei achuzasai, meaning again, soda shein asdei achuza, only a field which is not right now a sdei achuza, yot sezushi sdei achuza, as opposed to this one, which now is a sdei achuza. In other words, he bought the field from his father. When it was makdashit while his father was alive, before he was yaushing it from his father, then we're saying Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to say, very well, when he was makdashit, it was a sdei mikna, but by the time he comes to be poided, it's a sdei achuza, and therefore it counts as a sdei achuza. Rabbi Meir would say, no, we have to go according to how it was when he was makdashit. When he was makdashit, he had bought it. He hadn't yaushed it yet. Therefore, the mayor treats it as a sdei mikna. So on the other hand, the Gemara continues, the ilu Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. Now, on the other hand, we have to consider, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, They would say that no, if the father died and then the son who previously had bought the field from his father yaushens it, you don't even need a pasuk for that. Of course, at that point, it's a stay achuza when he was makdish it already. You need the pasuk to be telling us the chiddush that when he bought it, still was a stay mikna, and then it turned into a stay achuza, that it should now be considered a stay achuza because you go according to when you paid it. That would be that would be the chiddush of the pasuk. That even though when he was makdash it was a sde mikna, but later on it became, only later on did it become a sde achuza. Nevertheless, we go because then his father died. That's when we treat it as a sde achuza. Tosfos actually mentions that there was a gusa in the Gemara that that where his father died and then he was makdish it, you don't need a pasuk. No, you do need a pasuk. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon are saying the svara again, as the Gemara is saying over here, because you go according to the time opinion. So it's true, you do need a pasuk for it. There is a chiddush in it, but they would say the point is that you go according to the time of pidyon, So the Gemara is actually in the Gemara, when the Gemara has the line over here that appointed of Yehuda and Reb Shimon, where the father died and then he was makdash at loit sorech pra. So Agos Habach actually changes the wording in the Gemara a little bit, because it's not really loit srichi kra. We're trying to work out right now how we know what pasuk is referring to. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming it's not a matter of what pasuk is available, it's a matter of svar. So Manolahu. So where are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon getting their opinion from? Imehaikra, if you're going to say they're just doing based on the pasuk, because the pasuk has the extra words, asher lo misdeach uzasai, and you're going to say, therefore, the pasuk is saying that for it to be treated as a sde mikna, it has to be one that can't possibly be a sde achuza. Well, how do they know that that's how that they douch in the pasuk the way that they're doing? It could equally well be understood, according to the mayor. Again, according to the mayor, that if you were makdish it when it was a stay mikna, then it remains a stay mikna. Only when, if the father died, so yes, at one point you had previously bought it, he had previously bought it from his father, but now his father has died, and now it became a stay achuza, and then he was makdish it, Reb Meir is saying that's the case the pasuk is referring to. Why, what forces Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon to learn the pasuk different? Evidently, it must be a matter of svara that they're saying that you have to go according to the time of pidyon, and therefore that causes them to interpret the pasuk accordingly. And during pidyon, it's already a sde achuza. So we see from that on the face of it that Reb Shimon goes based on svara according to the time of pidyon. Well, then, referring back to our previous case involving the trees and the karka, we should assume then that if it's makdish the trees and later on the karka, that fine, at the time to begin with, at the time of hekdish, they were separate entities, but by the time he's coming to be poured to them, it's all one big entity, and therefore it should all go together at the rate of Sela and Punyan per year, 50 sloyim right after Yovel, and yet in the trees and the karka all together, and yet in the Braisa and Oban Aleph, we were saying that no, they're treated separately, so how can that Braisa be appointed of Shimon? The answer is, the answer is that no, not necessarily do we say that in other cases, do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon go according to the time of pidyon. They might well say that in general, you go according to the time of hekdesh. That would explain the braisa on Amar Aleph and allow it to be appointed of Shimon. That we're saying is makdish trees. And later on, the karka, we don't care that the time of pidyon, they're all one thing. The fact is, at the time of hekdesh, they were separate things. I stay mikna and stay achuza business over here. It's not Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are basing themselves just on pure svara. They analyzed the wording of the pasuk and said that we have to understand that pasuk. It doesn't really work out so well according to the mayor's opinion, because they say, Im Cain, if it just meant like the mayor, Loi Makra, then the pasuk could say, the imas stay miknase asher loy achuzos. It doesn't have to say the word, the second word, misdei, at all. If this is a field that he bought, which is not achuzase, which is not his inheritance. It didn't have to say the second word, misdei achuzase, at all. The word misdei is extra. Ina misdei achuzase, or at least fine, it had to say the word field. It could have said that's not field of his inheritance. Why misdei? My ashalay misdei achuzase. Therefore, they learn the pasuk itself is implying esheinu ruuya liyasdei achuza, not like a mayor that says whether it's a sdei achuza right now at the time of hekdesh, but rather whether it's capable of ever becoming a sdei achuza.
Like,
namely, where his father dies after he was makdashim. Yotzazu shuru uya liyasdei achuza, as opposed to this one which is able to become a sdei achuza because in other words, because when the father dies, he will inherit it. So even now, before the father dies, therefore we can already consider this is right now a sdei mikne. He bought it from his father, but it has the potential to become a sdei achuza. It's not misdei achuzase. It's a field that's capable of becoming sdei achuzase, and therefore we're saying you go according to that. So not that they generally hold you go according to Pidyon, to the time of Pidyon, but rather in this particular case, they have a reason based on a reanalysis of the pasuk to say that. But that doesn't mean that they generally hold you go according to the time of Pidyon. In general, they would say you go according to the time of Hekdesh, and that explains then the Braisa and Amrav. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have made another point as well. The Gemara could have also said they are arguing on a matter of Svara. They're arguing on the famous question all over Shas of Kinyan Peiris ke Kinyan Aguf. When the son buys the property, he's not necessarily buying the property as a whole. He's buying the right to have the Peiris of the property until his father dies, and then he's going to yaush in the Guf. And the question would be, is that considered enough of an ownership of it that it be considered his or that not?
Say that again.
You have a case where all over Shas where a person buys land only as far as the payers, where the you have a piece of land. I buy it from you only insofar as that I can collect the payers of it. The goof continues to belong to you. We're going to have later on, and we're going to have many examples of it later on. It has to do with if the tree falls away, but it also has to do in general with the question. In other words, I can't go and sell the land to somebody else. Or I can't even go, let's say, and start digging around the land because the land still belongs to you. I just own the right to collect the payers from that land. So Tosfos points out the Gemara could have said that you're talking about this kind of thing of Kinyan payers, Kinyan aguf, and therefore so the son bought only the rights to the payers, and the question is whether he's considered to own the guf or not. Anyway, but here what the Gemara is saying, not like that. The Gemara is just mentioning a different point that they are arguing whether you go according to the time of the Hekdesh or the time of the Pidyon, but only in that one case based on analyzing the pasuk differently. Okay. So fine. So that's that then. So now we've covered all our bases. We've established that the Braisa on Amr Aleph goes like Reb Shimon, and he holds Makdish Ba'ayin Ra Makdish. Meanwhile, the Chachamim and Rav Akiva both hold Makdish Ba'ayin Yof Makdish. Rav Huna's original din can therefore be according to both Rav Akiva and the Chachamim, because the only one who would say anything differently is Rav Shimon, and he's holding a different din as far as Hekdesh. So therefore, the result is when a person is selling a field to somebody else, then you have later on in the next paragraph, we discuss if you sell one or two trees, you're not necessarily selling kalkul with them. Only three or more are you. On the other hand, Rav Huna and the Rashbam learns that that's subject to a machlokas, Rav Akiva and the Chachamim. On the other hand, when it comes to the other way around, you're selling the field and reserving trees for yourself, then you definitely keep kalkul with it. According to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and the fact that Rabbi Shimon holds differently doesn't matter, because we're saying Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold exactly like Rabbi Akiva or exactly like the Chachamim anyway.
And also exactly like Rabbi Huna.
No, the fact that he contradicts Rabbi Huna doesn't really matter for our purposes, yeah. Okay.
But at least it goes according to...
And at least Rabbi Huna's din goes according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Okay. Getting back to this matter of Chorav HaMurkav and Sadhana Shikma, those two special types of trees that we've been discussing the last couple of blat. So Omer Rav Huna, Chorav HaMurkav...
Most people that don't go with
it. No, so what we said is when you sell a field, then they definitely don't go with it. When you sell a field, unless you specify them, they don't go along with them because they're Chorav on their own. When you're gifting a field or when you're being Makdish a field, then you have the different opinions about it. So Omidafona Horva Murka Basadana Shikma, Toras Elon Oliver, Toras Kauka Oliver. In a way, such trees have a din of trees, but in a way they also have the din of land. Toras Elon Olav, the Hecha de Akish Izabin Schneilonis, the high, it has the din as far as trees that, let's say, if he were to be makdish or sell two trees plus this one, in other words, if he's been makdish or selling three trees, one of which is a Chorav HaMurkav, or one of which is a Sadna Shikma, Yesh LeKarka, then we would say that the buyer or Hekdish automatically gets Karka with it. We wouldn't say, in other words, if we were to say that the tree is like Karka, then we would, and that's in effect what we said previously, is because we said that when you're selling the field, it's not automatically included because it's considered like a miniature field within the original one. Well, if you said it's completely like a field, then you would say, so he's being makdish two trees. Yes, he's being makdish a chorav amurkav. So what? If he were to be makdish two trees plus a burr, we wouldn't say there's karka involved. So the same way, so we have to say, therefore, that to that extent, this tree counts as a tree for purposes of that halach. On the other hand, Toras Karka Olav Dlem is Daban Agabara. On the other hand, as we learned earlier in the Mishnah, that it's considered like Karka insofar as that when you sell the land, it's not automatically sold with it. Because again, it's considered like a miniature field within the land. So that second part of Rav Huna's din is not really a chiddush, because there you already have the Mishnah, or you told us that. But once Rav Huna is telling us the first part, which is a chiddush, which we wouldn't have otherwise known, then he mentions the second part incidentally as well.
Okay, so the first part again.
First part is that it count, even though we're saying, so in other words, like this, we have the Mishnah telling us that when you sell a field, you haven't sold a Chorav HaMurkav together with it. That amounts to saying that the Chorav HaMurkav is considered a miniature field of its own. Well, if you were to follow that to its logical conclusion, then that would mean that if you're selling two trees plus a Chorav HaMurkav, then there wouldn't be Karka with them, because it would be two trees plus a plot of land. It wouldn't mean that automatically with the trees goes the land around the trees. But now that we're saying that the Chorav HaMurkav counts as a tree for that purpose, then that means you're selling the other guy three trees, automatically you're selling the land between the trees and around the trees with them. That's Rav Huna's point.
Because together with
because the fact is, you have three trees over here, because after all, it is a tree. Similarly, the Gemara digresses a minute to say a similar thing as far as the dinim of shikcha. Now you have like this, the Torah tells us, next week's parasha, that you forget the shachachta oimer basadeh, if you forget a sheaf, a bundle of grain in the field, then you have to leave it for the poor people. Now the Mishnayos and Masechta Peah discuss, on the other hand, you don't have to do that if what you left behind is a godish, is a pile of grain. And so the Mishnayos describe over there, if you have an extra large bundle of grain, then it's not subject to the dinim of shikcha.
The difference if it's tied that tie?
No, we're talking about tied bundle. But so the Omer of Huna, Omer Shiyesh by Sosayim. So similarly, the same way as we said with the Chorav HaMurkav, that it has for certain purposes is considered a tree, and for certain purposes land. Rav Huna is going to tell us the same way, when you have a sheaf of grain of a certain size, then in a way it has the dinim of a bundle of grain, and in a way it has the dinim of a pile. No, because it's a certain size. So Toras Omer Olav, Toras Godish Olav. It has to a certain extent the dinim of a bundle of grain, the Toras Godish Olav. It also has in connection with some other parts of the din of a stack. Toras Omer Olav, Dishnei Omer Shikha. In the sense, in general, we have the din. In general, we have the din that if you forget one bundle or two bundles, then there's shikcha. So here, what we're saying is that the Rashbam points out that the Sifri learns it from a pasuk that says, where it says v'shachachta oimer basadeh. Oimer implies like godish, implies not if you forgot a stack of grain. When you have three or more bundles, then together they make up a stack. So therefore, if you forget three bundles together, then it would mean that then it's not shikcha. The Rambam and other Rishonim learn various other, the Rambam brings from a Yerushalmi that says a different source of it, that since the Pasuk says you have to leave it for the Ger and the Yosim, that implies if you're left behind two bundles, one goes to the Ger, one goes to the Yosim. If you're left behind three, then none. And then there's another way of looking at it that learns it from that learns it from the sacred Urim, learns it from the fact that the Mishnah in Peah describes over there in detail. If you have something where he forgot it, but eventually he's definitely going to remember it, then it's not considered shikha. And once there's three bundles, then eventually he's definitely going to remember. Anyway, the point is you have that din that if you forgot one or two bundles, then it is considered shikha. So now what you have is. So if you forgot two bundles, then they have a din of shikha. However, Rav Huna is telling us the shnei imim shikha. If you forgot two bundles, then they're shikha. Shnayim bahu. But if you forgot two regular sized bundles and then this oversized one of two saw, then it's not considered shikha. In other words, to that extent, it counts as a bundle. It counts as the third bundle of the group where now you have three bundles and therefore none of them are shikha.
Depends how large.
No, we're saying because this bundle is two saw and two saw by itself is too large to be considered regularly a bundle. So that's so he continues. Peras Godish Olav, that same bundle, which is Sasayim, also has the din of a Godish, of a pile of grain, the Tnan, where the Mishnah is described over there, Oymash Yeshba Sasayim, Shokha in a Shikha, that Bechal, if you forget one individual bundle of two sa, then it's not Shikha, because that's considered already, it's not considered a bundle anymore, it's considered a Godish. The point is, in other words, Rav Huna is saying, so therefore, this bundle, if you forgot it all by itself, it's not going to be Shikha, because to that extent, it's considered a Godish. On the other hand, if you forgot it with two other ones, then they all combine together to be three bundles, which again are not Shikha. Otherwise, if you hadn't said that, you would say, well, you have two bundles and a pile, and those are two separate things. The pile, fine, wouldn't be Shikha, but the two bundles would. Now, Rav Huna is telling us, no, the three of them joined together to be considered three bundles, with three bundles forgotten are never considered Shikha.
So when do you say they combined?
That's what we're saying. So we're saying if it's by itself, then it's not considered Shikha. And also, if it's combined together with two other ones, then they're also, then none of the three of them are Shikha. So we consider it to some extent like a pile of grain, and to some extent like a bundle, similar to the way the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadna Shikma to some extent are like a tree, and to some extent are like karpah.
When it's together with two other trees, then they're
like, when it's together with two other trees, then it's considered a tree. When it's by itself, then it's considered like karpah. The same way over here, when this bundle is all by itself, it's considered like a godish, like a heap of grain, and when it's with two other ones, then it's considered like a bundle.
Yeah. And also would
be. And then therefore none of them are shikha. Okay. The Gemara finishes off. Omer Rabbi Baba Chana Omer Esh Lakish. Chorav HaMurkav V'Sadna Shikma Bonu L'Machloikas Rav Menachem Bar Yosi V'Rav Yosi V'Rav Bonu. You should know that when you have, we said that if you makdish a field, then Rav Shimon had said in our Mishnah that you makdish along with it only a Chorav HaMurkav and Sadan HaShikma, as we worked out Rav Shimon's opinion before, and the Chachamim had said not only those, you also makdish a bur and a gas and whatever else in the field. Rabbanan said that you makdish the trees as well as the bur or gas or whatever, because makdish by any offer back. So now Rabbi Baba Chana is telling us the name of Rish Lakish that you should know when a person is being makdish a field, the question of whether the Chorav HaMurkav or Sadna Shikma are included is actually subject to a machloikas of Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, and the Chacham. Meaning, in other words, that Rashbam says, so the Gemara is going to explain in the next couple of lines that Rav Menachem holds like Rav Shimon. The point was, the Shlokish knew from his Rebbeim that it is so, that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi holds the same as Rav Shimon in that regard. And we said earlier in the Sugya, that when Rav Shimon had said in the Mishnah that he is Makdish, the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadna Shikma together with the field, he didn't mean that he actually holds that way. He meant he's arguing to the Chachamim, you should draw a distinction between that and a bur and das and everything. And the Chachamim say there's no distinction. But Rav Shimon himself, because he holds Makdish, Ba'ein Ra Makdish, is holding that no, you're Makdish a field, you're not Makdish the Chorav HaMurkav or Sadna Shikma, just like when you're selling the field, those are not included. So now Rav Shlokish wants us to know that Rav Menachem holds the same as Rav Shimon in that regard.
That
just because you makdish the field doesn't automatically mean you makdish those trees. So the Gemara asks, well, like machlokas Rav Shimon Rabbanan. Why doesn't Rav Shlokish say out clearly that it means that's the machlokas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim? And the answer is that wouldn't be, and because otherwise you would understand from the Mishnah that after all, on the surface, the Mishnah is saying that Reb Shimon also holds the same way, and therefore let Rish Lakish inform us that no, Reb Shimon doesn't actually hold that way. He's just arguing within the Chacham's opinion. And the answer is Hakamash Malan. Rish Lakish wants to tell you a different chiddush. Did Reb Menachem, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon Svirale that Reb Menachem Reb Yosi holds like Reb Shimon, and we worked out based on the Braisa before already what Reb Shimon holds. So now Rish Lakish, so therefore it's not as much of a chiddush for Rish Lakish to tell us how Reb Shimon holds. Instead, he wants to tell us a chiddush that Reb Menachem Reb Yosi holds the same way. So that's why he said that when you have this case, you makdish a field, does the Chor of Amurkov automatically go along with it? Is subject to a machlokas from Menachem Reb Yosi and the Chachamim. That tells us you should know that Menachem Reb Yosi holds the same as Reb Shimon, that they're not automatically included with it. Reb Shimon, we already know that previous discussion in the Sugya. So now you should know, now let's tell you a Chiddush, there's another Tano who holds like Reb Shimon in that regard. Okay. Hadron Alacha Mocher is a Bais.